Our epistle for this Sunday, Sextagesima Sunday, is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 19 to 33, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we have been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are the Hebrews? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are the offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are the ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labors and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor, under King Aretas, was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, and lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up. There was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. At that time, a very great crowd was gathering together, and men from every town were resorting to Jesus. He said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. And as he said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not ripen, but that upon the good ground. These are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we definitely see a highlight in today's epistle and gospel and the liturgy today for us to take note and to review the whole concept of grace. What is grace? If we were to look at our catechisms, we see that grace is simply defined as a gift from God. And then the subdivision of that is there's sanctifying grace and actual grace. What is actual grace? Actual grace is the influence of God around us. What is sanctifying grace? Well, that's the life of God in our soul. As with any gift, either we make good use of the gift or we don't use it, or we abuse it and misuse it. This is most especially true where it concerns grace. When God offers us a gift and we don't take it, we reject it. When we take the gift and we don't make good use of it, like the parable that our Lord tells of the talents, to one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one. The one with one hid it, didn't use it, didn't abuse it, returned it, and he was called a wicked servant. And so it's important for us to consider this whole concept of grace, especially as we approach a season of great grace, the Lenten season. Great opportunity for conversion. We read in today's gospel that the sower goes out to sow his seed. Who's the sower? Well, it's Christ. What's the seed? The Word of God. The way, the truth, the life. The Word who we receive at Holy Communion. The Word made flesh. The greatest of gifts. Now, some would blame the sower. Very careless with his seed, don't you think? Some on hard ground, some among the weeds, and some among the thorns, and then some among the good ground. Our Lord is not here for us to concern ourselves about the sower, but to understand the concept that God gives all men the necessary grace to save their soul. Where that seed falls is the one who owns the ground. It's their fault if it's not prepared, or it's their benefit if it's good ground. But God gives all men the necessary grace to save their soul. But there's a work that must be done in order for us to receive the grace properly, that life of God in our soul. That conversion starts when we let the influence of God from without, actual grace, encourage us. Whether they be sacramentals, nature, any of the things that God uses on the outside, ourselves, being here in church in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, actual grace is at hand, is working if we allow. But the problem is we don't engage as much as we could or should. Like we say the rosary and don't pray it. We make excuses why we're dodging God's grace and God's influence. And then we wonder why, when it comes to the point of sanctifying grace, doesn't take hold. It doesn't flourish. For some foolish reason, we blame God. But God's not to blame. We must see to this ourselves. Just like any garden or any ground, in order to get it ready, there's work that has to be done. If you've ever had to weed a garden, you know that it's difficult. Sometimes it's easier, especially with certain weeds, it's easier. The smaller the weeds are easier. But once you go in there and you find that there has been an infestation of weeds, and not the nice ones, but the ones that go really deep, it's hard to get the whole weed out. You may get most of the root, but some of it still stays, and some of it still is able to flourish. If you ever had to clear thorns out of a garden, you know how difficult that is. It causes pain. If you're not careful, it gets inside your hands, and depending on the type of thorns, some of them are more devious than others. But if you're not willing to make the effort to get those thorns up and out of there, then you don't have very much hope for that grace to flourish within you. As soon as you get the weeds out and the thorns out, if you're not willing to work the ground, stir up the compost within the ground, if it's been driven over and over and over and over, the seed's not going to be able to plant itself. It's going to just be there at easy target for the birds. But if you're willing to make the effort, no pain, no gain. If you want the crown, you must embrace the cross. And that's what Christ says about being his disciples. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. There's work that has to be done. And no one can do that work for us but us. But we have to make a decision. Today we are receiving the grace by receiving this message. It's like, okay, wait a minute. How's my relationship with God really? Not how other people think my relationship with God is. No, how is my relationship with God? How have I made good use of his gifts, of his grace? St. Thomas Aquinas says, grace is frustrated in three ways, as it presupposes three things. So what are the three things it presupposes or that it needs? It needs us to be mindfulness of it. We have a love for it and a holy solicitude. What is solicitude? What does that mean? That we care. No, that we really have a care for grace. It's not just a concept we hear of when we study our catechism, or that when we come to church on Sunday, or we go to confession, like, I'm sanctifying grace, la-di-da. No, we must care, we must cherish mindfulness of it, love, and holy solicitude. He continues, these three conditions are void by three others. The mindfulness is made void by vain love of the world. What is it that Solomon wrote? It was so many years before. It's used in the Imitation of Christ, one of the first chapters. Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity except to love God and to serve him alone. This is the greatest and highest of all virtues. All is vain. All is useless. We put too much effort and too much concern about the nothingness of this world. That's what we get, the nothingness of this world. If we go and try to justify our own way, and we're not humble enough to accept God's way, then you're going to have only what you can give yourself. And that is a very small way to nowhere. The second thing, love is made void by hardness of heart. What does hardness of heart mean? It means that we have our own way, we're sticking to it, and we don't care to make a change. Stubborn, spiritual stubbornness. The man who is spiritually stubborn and not willing to convert and to make that change and to let that grace take hold and be perfected within it How can they have hope for eternal salvation? The foundation of all the virtues is humility. The foundation or the root of all vice and sin is pride. Holy solicitude, this is made void by letting vice crop up. Vice, a bad habit of sin. But it's important for us that when we receive this knowledge, not to get discouraged and say, oh, there's a lot of work to do. No, it's worth it. Because heaven's worth it. My relationship with God is worth it. Will you be tempted? Absolutely. It's part of the test. Will you fall? You have a fallen human nature. But you also have the good Lord who forgives and who loves you beyond measure. The same words that St. Paul heard from the good Lord, the good Lord says to us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness." If we proceed with humility and we cherish the gifts of God, you will be saints. But you must gladly understand your weakness to understand who He is, your infirmities and your sins to know that He's your Savior. And then, and only then, the strength of Christ may dwell in you and flourish. Let us think of these things as we approach Lent and how what we're going to do during this holy season coming up. Not for our own accolades, but primarily for our relationship with Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions we heard.